Picture a flatbed truck circling Belgrade's Republic Square, blasting punk rock anthems with lyrics like, "If I shoot, then I won't have time to fuck." This wasn't just teenage rebellion, it was the spark that would ignite a revolution. Serja Popovich, a bass guitarist in a punk band, witnessed this moment and realized something profound. Activism didn't have to be dreary committee meetings and earnest speeches. It could be cool, irreverent, and actually work. Fast forward to 2011, and Egyptian protesters toppling Hosni Mubarak carried signs featuring the same clenched fist symbol that had become iconic in Serbia's revolution a decade earlier. That symbol, and the strategy behind it, came from Otpor, the student movement Popovich helped create. What started as spray-painted fists across Belgrade became a blueprint copied in over 50 countries. The wisdom isn't theoretical. It's battle-tested by ordinary people who face down tanks, secret police, and brutal dictators armed with nothing but creativity and courage. Grand movements for freedom often fizzle, while campaigns about dairy products spark nationwide change. The difference reveals everything about effective activism. In 2011, Israeli insurance salesman Itzik Alrav created a Facebook page boycotting cottage cheese, a beloved staple that had doubled in price. Starting with 32 followers, his message exploded to 100,000 supporters. When dairy companies dropped prices, college students applied the same approach to housing costs. Gandhi grasped this with his 1930 Salt March. Facing 100,000 British soldiers ruling 350 million Indians, armed conflict meant suicide. But salt? Everyone needed it. The British tax preventing Indians from collecting it was universally resented and symbolically perfect. What began with 77 followers ended with 12,000, forcing the British Empire to negotiate. Harvey Milk transformed from a failed candidate focused solely on gay rights to San Francisco's first openly gay elected official by pivoting to dog poop in parks. He stepped in excrement on camera, promising to solve this universal nuisance. Once he'd proven he could deliver on everyday problems, people trusted him on bigger issues. You can't change the world if nobody believes you can change their neighborhood first. When Otpor placed a barrel with Milosevic's face in Belgrade, inviting people to smash his face for just a dinar, they created an impossible dilemma. Police arrested the barrel, and photographs of them hauling it away made newspaper covers. The mighty security apparatus looked like comically inept clowns. Humor neutralizes fear, the dictator's primary weapon. In Turkey, couples responded to authorities condemning public kissing by making out en masse. In 1980s Poland, activists walked their television sets during the evening news. The government couldn't arrest anyone. There was no law against walking televisions. In Syria, activists poured red dye into Damascus fountains and dropped thousands of ping pong balls inscribed with anti-Assad slogans down steep streets, forcing confused police to stand guard and chase balls for days. In Siberia, when denied protest permits, activists staged demonstrations with toys, Lego figures and stuffed animals holding tiny protest signs. Embarrassed officials declared that toys are not citizens of Russia. Mark Twain was right. Against the assault of laughter, nothing can stand. When police beat me and shoved a gun in my mouth during a 1998 arrest, I discovered something unexpected. The crackdown strengthened Otpor. Getting detained became a badge of honor. Even nerdy kids who were arrested suddenly scored dates. We neutralized fear through preparation. Otpor created detailed Plan B guides documenting every arrest step, the tight handcuffs, vomit-smelling cells, interrogations. We prepared standard answers, arranged legal representation, and used color-coded t-shirts to indicate detention counts. From the police perspective, cracking down became uncomfortable. Officers interrogated students whose humor reminded them of their own children, only to receive rehearsed, useless answers. Outside, crowds sang and handed flowers, while parents and lawyers flooded the building. Serbia's secret police reportedly concluded each arrest created 20 new Otpor members. In Subotica, activists faced Ivan, a 6'5" brute who crushed wrists under his boot. Public shaming through posters with Ivan's photo in local shops completely changed him. He still arrested protesters, but without brutality, living in total social isolation. When Putin prosecuted Pussy Riot, the vindictive 2,800-page indictment transformed an obscure band into worldwide celebrities. Making oppression backfire relies on simple arithmetic. Exercising power comes at a cost, and activists must make that cost rise until opponents can no longer afford it. What drives people to risk everything for change? Not abstract ideals, but a tangible vision of a better life. In the Maldives, activists struggled to mobilize a population terrorized by a 30-year dictatorship, where dissenters faced brutal punishment. The breakthrough came through rice pudding cookouts near Male's artificial beach. This national staple drew hundreds, creating community gatherings. When police confiscated the pudding, it became a powerful symbol of resistance. But symbols alone don't sustain movements. After connecting with Canvas, the Center for Applied Nonviolent Actions and Strategies, Maldivian activists learned to create a vision of tomorrow. Through role-playing exercises, they discovered people care less about abstract freedoms than basic needs, respect, safety, honest pay. Activist Imran Zahir's boat trip to remote atolls revealed elderly Maldivians sitting catatonic on beaches with no pensions or healthcare, inspiring a platform addressing concrete needs rather than just opposing torture. Every dictator stands on pillars that can be shaken: tribal elders, doctors, teachers, corporate stockholders. Nonviolent movements can include everyone, building the critical mass needed to topple a regime. By organizing protests at corporate headquarters, activists force international companies to withdraw, cutting revenue streams. No dictator's authority is absolute. It relies on people who follow orders. Belarus's 2010 democratic movement collapsed when 9 candidates split opposition votes, handing Lukashenko victory, the worst outcome for reformers. Unity begins with message discipline. Femen diluted its impact, protesting everything from toilets to Barbie dolls. Otpor succeeded with laser focus. He's finished. One simple slogan uniting all aspirations. Identity cohesion matters equally. Woodstock hippies read as a movement. Iraq war protesters looked like isolated events. Hippies shared visible cultural markers, creating belonging beyond single protests. Students for a Democratic Society grew from 2,500 members in 1964 to 100,000 by 1969, then imploded after abandoning structured leadership. Strategic planning separates winners from losers. Occupy Wall Street aired naming itself after a tactic rather than an identity, like the 99%. Mass demonstrations should be victory laps, not opening moves. Egyptian activists organized 2 years before Tahrir Square. Otpor maintained momentum through escalating actions, pranks to concerts, to marches, to elections, to civil disobedience. Like action movies, movements must constantly build towards something bigger or lose their audience. Research analyzing 323 conflicts between 1900 to 2006 found nonviolent campaigns succeeded 53% of the time versus just 26% for violent ones. Nonviolent movements attract broader participation and create more stable democracies. Violence triggers tribal instincts, strengthening oppressors, while unarmed protesters appear sympathetic. Even nonviolent resistance requires discipline. Jim Lawson prepared civil rights activists by subjecting them to simulated taunts so they could remain nonviolent under real provocations. These principles work beyond overthrowing dictators. When suburban mom Kathy faced her city council rezoning land near her children's school for a shopping mall, she enlisted local clergy to pressure the mayor, forcing another hearing where community sentiment overwhelmingly opposed the mall. In Kibera, Nairobi's massive slum, teenagers with GPS devices mapped the neighborhood, creating a safety alert system via text message. Our world worships the strong and mighty. Magazine covers celebrating billionaires, famous actors, flashiest stars. This perpetuates the false notion that only elites matter. The most enduring lesson, lasting change comes from ordinary people. Rosa Parks, Harvey Milk, Gandhi, revered because they had the courage to act up and the smarts to do it right. Your revolution doesn't need tanks or millions. It needs creativity, courage, and willingness to begin. So what's your cottage cheese? The blueprint is here. The rest is up to you.